And I literally just sat down and said, Mom, leave me here to die. You go.
Yeah.
You go finish. But I literally feel like I'm going to die. I cannot go another step. And my mother said to me, Vicky, look at that tree over there. Can you just make it to that tree?
I am yours, I am yours, I am yours, send me, Lord. I am yours, I am yours, I am yours.
Welcome to the Gospel Centered Pro-Life Podcast, a podcast designed to equip, encourage, and challenge you in pro-life ministry, and always with a focus on the gospel. Stay tuned.
I felt your passion. Touched your heart.
Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord.
Welcome back to the Gospel Centered Pro Life Podcast. We appreciate you guys joining us. My name is Daniel Parks, and I serve as Executive Director for Love Life. And Vicky, you introduce yourself.
Hey there, I'm Vicky Kosiorg, and I am the Sidewalk Training Director.
Naturally, yes, you are.
I always struggle to remember that.
Yeah.
And I'm also on the sidewalk here in Charlotte locally.
Yeah, and we're recording in March. Mm-hmm. This won't come out until April. Mm-hmm. But you just got back from Roanoke, Virginia.
Yeah.
Helping our team there. Vicky's been doing some trips. I think you got a trip in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Southern California and helping some sidewalk teams there. Vicky's traveling all over the nation, helping train sidewalk people. Not really, I guess train for sure, but these are people that are already doing sidewalk ministry and just helping them dial it in and improve it, make it better.
Yeah. Be an encouragement to them.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they're doing mostly everything right, and just a fresh set of eyes sometimes can pick up something maybe they hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great team.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
Yeah, I know about, I don't think we've mentioned it on this podcast, but I'll mention it again, about every time you've gone to a city, and this is not you, right? It's the Lord working through you and your experience. About every time you've gone into a city and left, things have improved. The sidewalk ministry improved. They're handing out more literature, seeing more babies saved and things like that. So it's super encouraging.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And, you know, God's really taken the experiences that you have, the experiences that I have, and given us the grace to train and equip other people, to make other people better at what they do on sidewalk ministry. It's the purpose of this podcast, actually, is to help you guys improve, do sidewalk ministry more effectively, and ultimately to see more babies saved and see Jesus glorified. Mm. All right, that's the goal. That's the heart. That's why we bring you these episodes. And before we jump into, we're going to just share a story. We're going to share some training stuff. Before we do, I want to just mention our episode today is going to be about something maybe a little different, maybe a little funny for you guys, but Vicky and I both have been getting into running. I've been running since, I mean, it's probably been 10 months ago.
To tell you the truth, I've been running for 50-some years, but I did take a short time off due to injuries, many years, in fact, due to injuries, and it was actually you that gave me the strategy to get back into running.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I am back into it.
So we're not, this is not a podcast about running, but we're going to talk about just some spiritual analogies as it pertains to running and as it pertains to sidewalk ministry.
Right.
There's some aspects. As a matter of fact, as I was looking, as we talked about doing this episode, as I was looking at scriptures, like there's a lot of scriptures about running.
Yeah.
Paul talks about it, even in the Old Testament, right? Mm-hmm. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. There's a lot of stuff about running. There's a lot of, like, as I was running couple months ago, I was just thinking, man, this is like an analogy for life.
Sure.
Of the stuff that you face. So we'll jump into that in just a minute. But before we do, if you would just share a story that would be encouraging to our folks.
Yeah, there's a story that happened just recently, and I won't tell you what city this happened in, just to preserve the privacy of an abortion worker. But an abortion worker left the industry. She had seen a lot of illegal and bad things happening.
No surprise there, right?
No surprise at all. And when she left, she said the reason that she left was that the management had really been disrespectful.
Yeah.
That was kind of the straw that broke her back. And the counselor, the
straw that broke the camel's back, you mean?
Yeah, what did I say?
The straw that broke her back.
Okay. the camel's back.
Yeah.
But the counselor that talked with her said, well, it's great that you left. Praise God. And told her about abortionworker.com. But also said, but honestly, you left for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason you should leave is that little human beings are being slaughtered in this culture of death at abortion centers across the country. And what would God have us do? Would God have you be a part of this? Do you believe in God? She claimed that she did believe in God and said, but she felt that someone was not a human being until they took their first breath. And the sidewalk counselor shared scripture to show, well, that's just not true. We're known from the moment of conception.
Yeah.
God has a plan and a purpose for us. And then the counselor suggested, you know, I'd be happy. First of all, connected her with Abby Johnson's ministry, who okay. helps former abortion workers, and said, if at any time you would like to talk about God, I would love to talk with you more about God and an understanding of what happens here from God's perspective. And she said she would like that. And like a week went by, she did not contact the counselor, and then she did, and said, I want to hear about God. And so as they began to talk, it became apparent that there had been abortion in the past of this abortion worker
yeah.
herself.
Yeah, which is pretty common.
She had an abortion. And as the counselor was sharing the gospel, this worker said, could someone who's had an abortion ever be forgiven?
Yeah.
And the counselor said, yeah, would you like to know how?
Yeah.
I can tell you mm-hmm. how. And shared the gospel fully for over an hour. And at the end of that, the abortion worker said that she wanted to submit her life to Jesus as Lord.
Wow.
And she did right then and there. So an amazing story. Here's someone that, first of all, quits, which is just joyful in and of itself that she has quit the work, and she was in the procedure room.
Yeah.
She was assisting with the abortions. But then that she'd made this just complete turnaround on her understanding of the sanctity of life, and then she herself submitted her life to the Lord.
Yeah, wow.
So praise God. But for me, the tip, I like to relate the tip, our sidewalk training tip, directly to the stories that we've told. And for
yeah.
me, the tip is don't neglect the gospel and don't worry about what might happen.
Right.
Like, you might offend.
Sure.
She might have decided, well, then I'm going back to that abortion center because
right.
of how you feel about God, whatever. But don't ever neglect the gospel and the understanding that people that are working there, people that are getting abortions, people that are supporting abortions, they are wounded people.
Yeah.
And they need the Lord so badly. And we should be eager and ready and willing and prepared to share the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. So one training tip that I have mm-hmm. that's kind of more practical is don't neglect the abortion workers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we prioritize, we talk about this pyramid of priority, mm-hmm. not of value, mm-hmm. but of just like who we're focusing on when we're there. Focusing on the moms as far as reaching them, and then the support people, the dads and friends that have brought them there, and then the abortion workers. The abortion workers, like, they need Jesus just as much as the moms going in. Now, it's a 911 emergency for the mom going in, for the baby in particular, of course. When there's not a dad out there to talk to, there's not a mom out there to talk to, we definitely address the abortion workers at abortion centers across the nation. I know here in Charlotte in particular, the abortion workers park in a particular area, so you know who's who, and you can address them. And it's pretty easy to find out who the abortion workers are. They're normally in scrubs, and you see them day after day. Right. And reach out to them. We did episodes about, I think we did one whole episode about reaching abortion workers. Yeah. So check that episode out. We did an episode also about sharing the gospel. And so we probably done several episodes about sharing
sure.
the gospel. So you can go on gospelcenteredprolife.com and search keyword gospel or abortion worker, and you'll find those episodes. So yeah, thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful
yeah.
what the Lord is doing. Yeah. And thank you for sharing those training tips.
Sure.
So shifting gears, into our main subject, which is, I don't know what we're going to call this episode, running the race with endurance or whatever. I don't know what we call it. But we're going to talk about running.
Right.
As an analogy for ministry, an analogy maybe even just for the Christian life.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I want to read a scripture here, and it's a pretty common scripture that you guys who are regular Bible readers are aware of. And it's in it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, I'll read some more scriptures as we go along, but this scripture just stuck out to me. This is Paul the Apostle writing to the church in Corinth. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, but they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." So he's talking about boxing too. "But I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." He's talking about discipline there. Mm-hmm. He's talking about running a race in such a way that you could win it. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not just running a race to run it. We want to win the thing. Now, he's not talking about this carnal, you know, we're clamoring to get in front of other Christians so we can look more Christian than they are or whatever. But he's talking about us and our individual lives. Let's run with seriousness. Let's run with intentionality. And, you know, for me, this is like one of the hallmarks of a serious Christian and a Christian who is actually going to have an impact for the kingdom of God. And that is running our spiritual race with intentionality.
Yeah.
And doing it in a disciplined way. One of the things that I've said, a phrase that kind of the Lord brought to my mind years ago as I was reading through John chapter 15 for several months, just meditated on that passage and just time and time again going back to that passage where it talks about abiding. You know, he's the vine and we're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But one of the phrases that came out of that as I was meditating on those scriptures is an abiding life is a disciplined life.
Yes.
And Paul was a disciplined man who taught others to be disciplined. Now, the root word of the word disciple, like we're disciples of Jesus, is the same root word as the word discipline, right? Disciples are disciplined in the ways of Jesus. And disciples, like if we're going to, I'm not talking again about, you know, a carnal works righteousness that we're not trying to work our way to heaven or work our way to favor with God. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking practically about disciplining ourselves. And one of the things in particular, as it pertains to sidewalk ministry, that I always stress, and I know you stress as well, is disciplining ourselves to spend time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. This dynamic that you can't give what you don't have. And that these women and men that we encounter, these abortion workers that we encounter at the abortion center, they need Jesus. They need that vital, life-giving connection with Jesus. And if we're not disciplining ourselves to have that vital, life-giving connection with Jesus ourselves, that means practically being in the Word, feasting on the Word of God, being connected to the true vine by reading the Word, and seeking Him in prayer, cultivating a relationship with Jesus. If we're not doing that, we can't give what we don't have. We're drawing from an empty well. And so, you know, racing and running requires discipline.
Yeah.
And I went on kind of a monologue there, but I will say for me, something that has helped me in the past, I've dropped like 30 pounds in the past year. I got a health scare back in February of last year. My cholesterol was like through the roof. My dad almost died of a heart attack for, you know, high blood pressure and cholesterol and all that stuff. My dad's dad did die of a heart attack. So I'm like, I don't want to die of a heart attack at 43 years old or whatever. And so I started really just applying some discipline to my life. Mm-hmm. And one of the disciplines, and you know, before I didn't, I ran some on and off here and there, maybe a mile or two or something like that, but never any distance really. But one of the disciplines that I began to apply to my life was getting up consistently at the same time, kind of early for me. I'm not an early riser, but now I'm getting up at 5:45. 5:45 a.m.
Slacker. I'm up at 5.
I know.
Sometimes
I'm slacker.
Four.
Well, I started at 6, actually.
Right.
And then I worked myself down to 5:45. I'm working myself down to 5:30.
Yeah.
But that's a discipline.
Yes.
And I did that so that I could I wouldn't allow myself an excuse not to run or work out or whatever, because I needed to drop some weight. I needed to get more healthy. I wanted to be healthy for my family and for what God has called me to. And it required discipline. And I'll tell you, just with that discipline in my life, I've gotten more effective in a lot of ways. I'm more disciplined in being in the Word and being in prayer. I do a lot of praying while I'm running. It allows me a lot of time to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just one practical discipline based on this scripture that I've been able to apply. And that, you know, just because I'm doing that, for you guys that are listening, you're thinking, I can never run. I can never get up at 5:45. I'm not better than you. I don't think I'm better than you because I'm able to do that. Maybe there's other disciplines that you need to apply to your life, and they're not getting up at 5:45 and running. Maybe there are other things. But either way, like the life of a true, serious believer in Jesus that is going to be productive for the kingdom of God is not a haphazard, do whatever you want to do kind of life. It's just not.
Right.
Yeah, that's spiel.
Good. Okay, so as you were talking, I was thinking of my mom, and she also had a health scare in her, I don't know, she had been a lifelong smoker, and her lungs were scarring, and the doctor said, could I persuade you to quit smoking, because basically you're going to get cancer otherwise in your lungs, and you might already be on the verge of it. And she said yes, and after a whole lifetime of smoking, they didn't know it was bad back when she started.
Wow.
She quit, and but she didn't really have. She had always been an athlete, but she didn't. She was not really doing anything active.
Yeah.
And I had been a lifelong runner. I had started running in high school, I think, and maybe even earlier. I had always been fast. I was the fastest kid in third grade.
Okay.
And I'm a little hyperactive, and running was a way to control that excessive energy. And so I had been running my whole life, and at this point, my mom was 50.
Okay.
And I said, Mom, why don't you start running? And she said, I could never run. I can't even walk to the end of the street without getting tired, especially after a lifetime of smoking cigarettes and the compromised lungs. And so I said, well, look, see that mailbox? Do you think you could just make it to that mailbox? Could you run to that mailbox?
Yeah.
The mailbox, you know how far. Well, it was a typical neighborhood. Mailbox
sure.
is very close together.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, yeah, I think I could run to that mailbox. I said, okay, let's do it. I'll run with you.
Yeah.
So we run to the mailbox. And I said, that's great, Mom. You made it all the way to the mailbox. Do you think that you could run to the next mailbox? And she said, I don't know. I'm getting tired, but okay. I think I could make it to the next mailbox. And she did. She made it to the second mailbox. I don't remember how many mailboxes exactly that we ran to that first day.
Okay.
But the next day I take her out and I said, just make it to the next mailbox, Mom.
Yeah.
And in this manner, day after day, she would reach a further mailbox.
Yeah, yeah.
It was maybe a half a mile tops in the first week. And she then got the running bug.
Okay.
And pretty soon, my mom started this. She was 50 when she started this. She starts entering races, winning them all, because she's an athlete, and she now loves to run. And she was running way more than many mailboxes now. She's running all the way around the neighborhood and beyond. And she decides, I want to run a marathon.
Yeah.
I'm going to run a marathon. And I was, I think, 22 at this time, maybe 23, and had run my whole life, but never ran a marathon, never really had a desire to. But I thought, maybe I might run a marathon.
Sure.
But my longest
Why not?
The longest run that I had ever done was about 9 miles.
Okay.
And Mom vigorously.
So just so you guys know, if you don't know, a marathon is 26.2 miles.
It's a long way.
Yeah.
26.2 miles. And so my mom starts training for the marathon, and she did it right. She followed all the advice, and her longest day prior to actually running the marathon, I think is 20 miles is what they say you should do.
Yeah.
And, okay, so she had done that the week or so before the marathon. Meanwhile, I'm sort of half-heartedly, I live across the country at the time. I'm half-heartedly trying to, like, prepare for a marathon.
Yeah.
But my longest day as the marathon approaches had been 9 miles. I was not even remotely trained to run this marathon. So I told her, I can't, Mom. I'm not trained. It would be foolish for me. So anyway, but I did fly across the country to be with her as she goes to run the marathon. I wore my sweats and my running stuff just, you know, to look the part. And we walk up to the starting line and I said, you know what? I'm going to run the marathon with you.
Yeah, well, you know, why not? Let's give it a go.
Totally untrained. And so we go, and for the first, like, 23 miles, it's actually pretty good. I mean, that's way farther than I've ever run. She was fully trained.
Yeah.
And we're actually kind of booking it. We were, like, averaging 10-minute miles.
Yeah.
And that's including the pit stops in the woods to go potty.
Yeah.
anyway, at mile 23...
You hit, like, the wall, huh?
Yeah, hit the wall. And if you guys haven't heard that, that means that you're just every reserve in your body is done. You have had it. And I literally just sat down and said, Mom, leave me here to die. You go.
Yeah.
You go finish. But I literally feel like I'm going to die. I cannot go another step. And my mother said to me, Vicky, look at that tree over there. Can you just make it to that tree, which was like 10 feet in front of me? I said, maybe if I walk.
Yeah.
She said, then just let's go to the tree. Let's walk to the tree. I'll walk with you because I'm not going to finish this without you. And so we make it to the tree. And she said, Vicky, how about that tree right in front of that tree?
Yeah.
Can you make it to that tree? I said, I don't know. I'm awfully tired, Mom, but okay. And I make it to that tree. And in that manner, tree by tree, slowly, my energy came back, and we finished the marathon and crossed the finish line together. My mother won.
Wow. Her stupid
daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I must have held her back for at least 5 or 10 minutes, if not more. And they announced her name. Bess Ceccarelli is the first place finisher in the 50 and above age category. She's running with someone, but we don't know who she is. We hear this over the amplified system because I wasn't registered for the marathon. But anyway, so one of my favorite memories of my mom. And the next day I couldn't walk. The doctor discovered that I had a fused bone in my foot. I don't know if the marathon fused it. It didn't. Or if I just had this thing in my foot I've had it my whole life that I never knew about. And it took me weeks to recover. And it was foolish. I could have died. But the sidewalk tip, okay, directly relates to a sidewalk tip. The women who are choosing to kill their baby are looking 18 years in front of them. They're looking at a whole lifetime and thinking, I can't do it. That goal is too far. It's too impossible. And what we need to do is remind them, none of us are able to figure out the next 18 years of our life.
Yeah.
None of us see the end of the race.
Yeah.
And none of us start off making it to the end. We all start one step at a time.
Yeah.
One mailbox at a time. One tree at a time. One choice at a time. Young ladies, you don't need to make the choice for the next 18 years. You just need to make the next right choice.
Yeah.
And I think it's an important training principle.
Make it to the next tree. Make it to the next mailbox. Yeah.
Yeah. Just make the next right decision in your life that glorifies God. And after that, then you make the next decision after that one.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's my little lesson from running.
I love it.
Yeah.
So another scripture about running, and there's a lot. I'm serious, guys. Go on Google and search scriptures about running. There's a good many, and they're pretty powerful. And this is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. You guys know this scripture, I'm sure. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, in the sin which so easily ensnares us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross. So we're supposed to endure the race because he was the example. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So there is this not trying to look at the mile 26.2 and I'll never get there, but taking it one step at a time in our walk with the Lord and encouraging those that we minister to do the same. But there's also this endurance, like pressing in, like we're in this for the long haul, helping convey to the moms that we minister to, the families that we minister to, that we're in this with them for the long haul, regardless of what, you know, pro-abortion people or the abortion industry might tell them. Those people just want you to have your baby and they'll leave you. No, we're in this with endurance ourselves. We're encouraging you to be in this with endurance. We're in this with you. And helping convey that to the moms that we minister to is really powerful.
Yeah.
Really important. And again, an analogy for life, running, like, and for ministry, running touches so many points, like what you mentioned, pressing past the pain.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, we're out there on the sidewalk. We're getting all kinds of rejection, all kinds of opposition, people yelling false accusations against us. And it hurts. Even family members misunderstanding what we're doing. That stuff hurts.
Yeah.
And we got to push past the pain sometimes. Mm-hmm. Push, because we've got a race to run and we've got a goal in mind.
We want to cross that finish line so badly. And for the Christian, that finish line is hearing those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and you're not going to hear it if you give up.
Yeah. And so my encouragement to you guys, maybe you'll start running. Maybe I can encourage you to start running. I'm just telling you, I think I'm addicted to running. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but I enjoy it. And I get up in the morning like excited about running, whereas before I didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe that's another principle for life, you know, with sidewalk ministry, with ministry in general, and all the things that we're supposed to do. It's like, it's a burden. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like, man, getting up and going out to the sidewalk is not fun. I don't think it's ever going to be fun for you. But the more you do it, the more you discipline yourself, you actually kind of begin to like it. But again, pushing past the pain and pushing past the opposition and things like that, and keeping your focus on the end goal in mind, that it's not just saving a baby. That's not the end goal. The end goal is that Jesus is glorified and you hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Yeah. And, you know, another parallel with my little story and with what's happening on the sidewalk, we're never out there alone. We have a whole team with us. And remember, there are times when we might falter and we need our teammates to encourage us to finish that race. And the same is true with our teammates. There may be times when they falter.
Yeah.
And we should be an encouraging voice, encouraging them to stay the course, finish the race.
Yeah. So I think we're about ready to wrap this up and, you know, give you guys an opportunity as you listen to chew on what we're saying and apply the principles to your life. But one of the things that I have learned personally for me, and the reason why I enjoy running, is actually I don't try to get as far as I can as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. The way I started running is running what I call low and slow. I don't run myself ragged. Once a week, I'll run, you know, pretty fast pace, you know, just to see where I'm at on my pace. But most of the time, I'm running, I mean, now I'm probably 10 and a half minute miles. I started out, I was running like 12 and a half minute miles to just be low and slow, right? Mm-hmm. Conversational pace, that's what they say, conversational pace. So I can actually hold a conversation with someone, 12 and a half minutes per mile. That's what it was when I first started. Now I'm like 10 and a half minutes per mile. I can hold a conversation. Not trying to put more on myself than I really can do. Sometimes we'll do that. We've warned against that in this podcast, especially when you're dealing with an issue like abortion, is, okay, we haven't been out on the sidewalk. We haven't been out there to speak up for those babies. We finally got a burden for it. And so I'm going to be out there 3 days a week or 5 days a week, and I'm going to volunteer every day of my week there. I'm going to be out there for 5 hours a day. And that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but some people like, okay, I need to volunteer 3 or 4 days a week. Try it low and slow. Mm-hmm. Start out with what you can do. Don't try to put a burden on yourself. And, you know, if I would have started running and said, well, I'm no good unless I run, you know, an 8 minute mile.
Five of them.
Yeah. I'd have never started because right. I couldn't perform that. I might could do it one time, like you, kind of idiotically, if I could say it that way, starting with a marathon. Like, what is wrong with you? That's insane. Don't do that. Don't start doing a marathon. Start out low and slow. Start out volunteering one day a week.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 2 days a week or something like that. But do what you can so that you'll do what you can, right? Right. Don't try to put more on yourself out of guilt or whatever.
Yeah.
And make it where you've got to do beyond what God has given you grace for.
Yeah.
So that'd be kind of my final thing as I wrap up. And we hope this was a blessing. I don't know if you have any final thoughts, but that's my final thoughts.
Yeah, just that what you said about the low load or low and slow, whatever, that was how I was able to return to running. Because if you don't, you're going to injure yourself and you'll ultimately give up.
Yeah.
And it worked. That method did work. And I do think that's kind of a life lesson for me too. You know, sometimes it's better to just slow down and take smaller steps.
Yeah.
And just trust that God will take you to the next step.
Amen. Well, we hope that this episode was a blessing to you guys. And we hope that you took something away from it. We kind of did it off the cuff because we talked about this. And so, yeah, it sounds like a good idea for an episode. So hopefully it was a blessing. If not, you can send Vicky hate emails, Vicky@lovelife.org, Vicky with a Y. And you can send me all your encouragement, Daniel@lovelife.org. We'd love to hear from you. If you have suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. We also created a Facebook group. It's called the Gospel Centered Pro-Life Podcast Facebook group. It's a secret Facebook group that you can get to if you are invited to it. And so we'd love to send you out an invite to that. You'll just have to email one of us and we'll send you that invite. And it's a place where people who are listening to this podcast, people that are doing sidewalk ministry can share. Vicky puts videos out there on a regular basis, just some training tips and things like that. Maybe stuff that we wouldn't cover in an entire episode, but we would cover just really succinctly with a video. So we want you to be involved in that if you feel so inclined. Again, you can reach out to us, take advantage of the GospelCenteredProLife.com website where all of our episodes are. Check out the Sidewalks for Life website where all our articles are, training and equipping resources that are there, sidewalks4life.com. But until next time, God bless.
God bless you all.
Give me an outlet for love. Give me an outlet for gratitude. I know it will cost me my life, but nothing's too precious since I met you.